I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture reading this morning is Genesis 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. May God add His blessing to the reading of this word.
Thank you, Julia. This is a short scripture, but it sends a huge message to all of us that our God is a God that brings order out of chaos. That our God is a God who says, "I don't like chaos, so I'm going to bring light, and I'll bring darkness, and I'll bring order, and I'll put the water in certain places and the land in certain places, and I'm going to make sure that everything is just right." Now, I wish Glenn were here for this, but we got Jack. But I'm going to share something with you, and I want you to think about this one. A doctor and an architect and a lawyer were arguing over who had the oldest profession. The doctor said, "Well, the first operation was performed on Adam, so the medical profession is the oldest." "No," said the architect. "Architectural planning and design was needed to create the earth and the universe out of chaos, so I represent the oldest profession." "Where do you think the chaos came from?" asked the lawyer. As funny as this joke may or may not be, it represents our world accurately in many ways. For example, we have those who heal, whether it be physically, spiritually, or emotionally. We have those who build, plan, organize, and design the world we live in whatever way that may happen. Then we have those who create chaos. First thing that comes to mind for me is a terrorist. However, there are many others at different levels of society that create chaos, even in our own homes. And sometimes, or a lot of times, we individually may create chaos in our own homes. You've no doubt heard of drama queens, or people who just love to have drama in their lives or create it for others. That's chaos. Our scripture tells us our world was very chaotic in the beginning. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Can you imagine how chaotic that must have been? In the 1960s, Dr. Edward Lorenz, in trying to develop a systematic method for developing long-range weather predictions, began focusing on chaos theory. Chaos theory basically is a study of how things that seem chaotic and random are actually more predictable from seemingly unrelated events. Without getting too technical, he tried to describe the interrelationship between minor weather events in one part of the world with other major weather events a great distance away. He developed a theory called the butterfly effect. The idea is the ripple of minor wind disturbances caused by the wing of a butterfly in South America could create a hurricane in North America. In our lives, we have people who create minor disturbances in one part of the family, workplace, or friendship, and the butterfly effect kicks in, and we see big blow-ups in other parts of those relationships. And yes, it even happens in churches. One person may become disenchanted with something, whether it be at work or in the church, begin to express their disenchantment with perhaps a bit added to fuel the fire, and before you know it, it becomes a huge issue. All too often, we don't ask who the butterfly was that flapped their wings, or why we should take it on as our issue. We may rehearse how to deal with chaos. We may meditate or set up mental defenses or whatever, but sometimes it just doesn't go as we rehearsed. For example, how many of you remember the old I Love Lucy series? Ricky, Fred, and Ethel were rehearsing what to do when the time comes to take pregnant Lucy to the hospital. Ethel would telephone the hospital, Fred would call the taxi, and Ricky would pick up Lucy's luggage and escort Lucy to the taxi cab. After several practices, they were content they could do it smoothly and efficiently. Then Lucy entered the living room and announced it was time to go. All heck broke loose. There was pandemonium and utter chaos. They all ran for the phone. Then they all ran for the door. Then Ricky came back and grabbed the luggage. Out the door they went, leaving Lucy still standing in the center of the living room, wondering what was happening. Chaos is an enemy, and God knew it. So he brought order out of chaos and commanded that we do the same. Remember the Ten Commandments? Order, so there would be no chaos. Remember his son Jesus? Order came into the world to stop the chaos of sin. Does God know what he's doing? By the way, I have to mention that I love Laura's cooking. My wife is a great cook. And I'm always amazed at the way she simply knows exactly what to do and what to put in the dish. And I understand that Mary and Betty and many others in this congregation are the same. She follows a recipe as a guide rather than as an instruction manual. She does things and puts things together I would think were completely wrong. And in doing so, she produces total chaos in the kitchen that, by the way, I get to bring order out of the chaos when I clean it up. But in the dining room and on the table, she's a queen. It's amazing what she does. She is sovereign. She knows what she is doing. The meal is fantastic and tastes as though it were made in heaven. Would it be the way I would do it? No. Does it work out well? Well, much better than I could do, yes. Her ways are not my ways, and God's ways are not our ways. But we must keep in mind he has been cooking in our universe since the beginning. What may look like a mess creates something wonderful. When he puts us in the pressure cooker, there's a reason. We might never know the reason, but there it is all the same. For most of us, bringing order out of chaos is a natural instinct. It's what we do. We don't want our homes in chaos, most of us. So we try to bring order out of that, keep it clean, keep people doing what they need to be doing and going where they need to go. That's the order. I mean, for example, imagine you have moved from Texarkana to a beautiful beachfront home on the Pacific coast. Now, we're using our imagination, so if you want to, you can imagine that dream home you've always wanted. The movers have just left, and you are faced with the daunting task of getting settled in. Boxes are everywhere. Cleaning is needed. What is the first thing you want to do? Go out to eat? Go to the movies? Go fishing? Well, maybe we guys are wanting to do that, but our wives are going to pull the troops together and get busy with the task of bringing order out of chaos. Jesus warned Israel, and indeed all God's children, that there are those who will try to lead us astray and distract us from the task of creating order. But we must resist such distractions. You see, the problem that Israel had, all of us face, is a problem that has been going on throughout the ages. Our problem is that we continually see chaos and we don't always address it. And Israel had chaos and they didn't always address it. And if you remember when Jesus was preaching and was talking to the crowds, there was that element in the background, the zealots, that said, no, we're not going to do it your way. We want war. And what is war if not chaos? Let's kill, let's maim, let's do whatever we have to do, but we don't want to be nice. During World War II, during the Battle of the Bulge, there was a group of German soldiers who dressed themselves in uniforms of the Allies. These German soldiers used American military vehicles and went through the German countryside changing the road signs. When the American troops came to the various crossroads, they were often fooled and led off in the wrong direction. This deception by the Germans almost gave them the victory in this very decisive battle from the Second World War. Just like the German soldiers caused confusion and death by changing a few signs, so many in our day are leading others off track because they are creating chaos and drama. For example, they want us to believe that this is the year that the world's coming to an end. You remember that in 2012? You remember in the year 2000? We could go on and on when these people are preaching the world is going to end today. But it doesn't. But they got people all upset and they got them concerned. And is it really going to end in 2012? That's what the Mayan calendar says. We can be taken off track, but let us not forget what Jesus said. Of that day and time, no one knows. Once there was a bishop who was traveling by ship to visit a church across the ocean. While en route, the ship stopped at an island for a day. The bishop went for a walk on a beach and he came upon three fishermen mending their nets. Curious about their trade, he asked them some questions. Curious about his ecclesiastical robes, they asked him some questions. When they learned he was a Christian leader, they got excited. "We Christians," they said proudly, pointing to one another. The bishop was impressed but cautious. Did they know the Lord's Prayer? They had never heard of it. "What do you say then when you pray?" he asked. "We pray, we are three, you are three, have mercy on us." The bishop was appalled at the primitive nature of the prayer. "That will not do," he said. So he spent the day teaching them the Lord's Prayer. The fishermen were poor but willing learners. And before the bishop sailed away the next day, they could recite the prayer with no mistakes. The bishop was proud. On the return trip, the bishop's ship drew near the island again. When the island came into view, the bishop came to the deck and recalled with pleasure the men he had taught and resolved to go see them again. As he was thinking, a light appeared on the horizon near the island. It seemed to be getting nearer. As the bishop gazed in wonder, he realized it was the three fishermen. They were walking toward him on the water. Soon all the passengers and crew were on the deck to see the light. When they were within speaking distance, the fishermen cried out, "Bishop, we come hurry to meet you." "What is it you want?" asked the stunned bishop. "We are so sorry. We forgot the lovely prayer. We say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name,' and then we forget. Please tell us prayer again." The bishop was humbled. "Go back to your homes, my friends, and when you pray, say, 'We are three, you are three, have mercy on us.'" A Chinese proverb states, if there is righteousness in the heart, there will be beauty in the character. If there is beauty in the character, there will be harmony in the home. If there is harmony in the home, there will be order in the nation. If there is order in the nation, there will be peace in the world. So why did God bring order out of chaos? Father, Son, Holy Spirit all tell the same story. Chaos is bad. Order is good. They are three. And they watch over us. God brought order out of chaos so we could see the light. This he did twice just for us. First time in forming the world, second time in sending his son. How many messages does the Lord have to send to us, and in what manner for us to get the big picture? Our Lord wants order. And when we decide to be chaotic and to hate and to resent and to fight and to hurt, we bring the chaos. But our Lord brings the order. May we, throughout 2015 and beyond, remember that our God is a God who brings order, and that we are commissioned to do the same. For Jesus said, "Go, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that there may be order." Let us pray. Gracious God, all too often we revel in chaos. We ask that you change our hearts and our minds in such a way that we too want order, that we too want peace, that our homes may be a haven of peace and order. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.